and be a part of this church. I thank you, God, for the word and that you've given us all that we need to live this life and do it well. And Lord, I ask that today you would anoint the words that I speak, that you would come by the power of your Spirit and minister deeply into all of our hearts through your word, and that we would be challenged and encouraged to continue to walk on the paths of righteousness and live this life the way you've designed it. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Two weeks ago, I talked from Proverbs 4, and I was really into the idea that this was Solomon teaching his sons, but he used his dad's teaching as the foundation. So it really became a message from Grandpa. The first nine verses, we get into something that David, who is Solomon's dad, taught him. And let me just read over it, and then we'll jump into the new stuff. But here's what Solomon wrote. He said, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I, too, was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. And then he taught me, and he said to me." So here are the secret words of King David. He said, "Take hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you." The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. I love that. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. It's a good start. "Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown." Now, I talked about this a few weeks ago, that clearly that was Solomon's desire, because he went on to have that powerful prophetic dream where God shows up and in the dream says, "Ask me for whatever you want." Solomon says, "I want wisdom and understanding." He basically asked for what his dad had told him. They had the keys to the kingdom, all the riches of the world. David, the greatest general, one of the greatest kings that ever lived. I mean, the ruler of this whole empire. And yet when Solomon was asked by God, "What do you want?" he said, "I want wisdom and understanding." Those words of his dad had pierced his heart and had become the very meat of what he longed for in life. And when he prayed that in his dream, God said, "All right, because you asked for that and not for riches or fame or popularity or 5 million Instagram followers, because you asked instead for wisdom and understanding, I'm going to give you all these other things." And Solomon later was known as the wisest man that ever lived or ever will live. And so for us, I mean, imagine if, it's so weird if someone were to come up to you and say, "I have gotten a hold of some insight from the wisest man that ever lived. I would like to share it with you. Would you like to know?" It feels like our culture goes, "Nah, no, I'm good." I've been really blessed by Kanye West's new album, Jesus is King. And, he years ago put out his first record. I think it was called Jesus Walks. And my kids were trying to convince me that it was okay I let them listen to it because Jesus was in it. But there's a lot of other words in there, too, that aren't in the Bible that start with, like, F and other letters like that. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. Because back in the day, I was pretty hardcore. Christian music only. And that's it. And they're like, "Dad, this is Christian music." I'm like, "I don't think so. You're not convincing me. I'm smart. I've read the Bible." But all of a sudden, Kanye's having this big experience with God. And I really believe that it's legit. I think he really has had an encounter with God. And But I just want to say that, you know, he's still a baby Christian. And he said last April he finally surrendered everything. His dad's a minister. He grew up hearing the gospel. But he's been in total rebellion. So the other night I put my AirPods in and I was listening to Jesus is King. It's only like 35 minutes long. It's all gospel, choir singing. They're worshiping God. The words are pretty awesome. But I fell asleep and I was listening on Spotify. And so then after the 35 minutes was up, it just kept playing the later earlier Kanye. So I wake up, and I mean, there are a lot of things going down that I wasn't planning on. People were getting slapped upside their head, and I mean, there was just a lot happening. And I, you know, the reality is, he's still working some things out. I watched this couple-hour interview he did with Apple Music, and this is, I'll swing this back to the message in a minute. But in it, he says this: I am unquestionably, undoubtedly, the greatest human artist of all time. Let's just settle that, he said. Let's just get that settled. Now let me share my point. Okay, no. We have in there, musically, like Lennon and McCartney, Bob Dylan, Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo. A few other people have been along that I don't think Kanye's quite there. And I, you know, I appreciate it. He's designing shoes. He's brought out a line of Star Wars smocks, you know, and et cetera, you know. But we have to be wise and not get so conceited and sucked up into our own life and idea that we miss what God is doing. Now, it's all good. I think he's saying some great things. I'm super excited about him. But he's a baby. He shouldn't be the one. We shouldn't be all looking to him now as the Savior. He used to call himself, you know, Jesus. And so this isn't like now the Savior has come. Although similar stuff happened with Joe Smith and the Mormons, and then he made himself out to be the new Messiah. I don't think Kanye's working that way now, but be smart. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, though it costs all you have, get understanding. If we get into the Word of God and we ask God for wisdom and understanding, it'll keep us from making dumb moves, being puffed up with pride, being conceited, missing what God has for us. But yet, there is a confidence that comes in walking with God and doing the right thing. And we've got to find that balance where it's not arrogance and pride, but yet it's confidence. And the next part of Proverbs is all about walking in the way of wisdom. And let me jump to that, because I can tell I could easily get distracted today. And I'm going to tell you a lot of stories today. I'm in a grandpa kind of mood. But let's read it starting at verse 10. I'm just going to read the rest of the chapter, like 10 through 27. Here's what Solomon then says. He shifts gears. He's like, that's what my dad said. You know him, King David's pretty awesome guy. Let me give you some more insight from my life. He says, listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom. Now catch this up. The whole rest of this chapter, he keeps coming back to this theme of walking in the way, paths, straight paths, staying on that thing that God has laid out before you. He says, I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked, or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous, though, is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Man, I mean, this is such a powerful teaching. And I've been thinking again, like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, how stupid so many people have become, pastors and leaders. And, you know, I appreciate Kanye. He's going for it. He's laying it out. They asked him in the interview, so what's a typical night for you? He's like, well, you know, we spend time with the kids. We play with the kids. We have dinner together. We put them to bed. Kim likes to watch Dateline, and I go read the Bible. And I'm like, okay, that's a transformation, right? And yet, you know, I think a lot of Christians could learn from that. Get your kids to bed and go read your Bible. Now, I don't follow that 100%. I read the Bible a lot. But this week I also watched the entire second season of Jack Ryan. It's eight episodes. It's pretty good. He's saving the world. But I don't know. I'm a little more of an isolationist. I think he's a little busy saving the other part of the world. And we should spend more time saving our world here in the U.S. But, you know, he is fictional, so I can let it go. It's politics. I'm not saying that you have to spend your whole life reading the Bible. But it wouldn't hurt you, that's for sure. And you get a lot more out of what you read in the Bible than you do from what you hear on television shows and other propaganda that you watch. And you'll be a lot more refreshed. You know, even a Fox News, which I like, and it's my personal choice of news, you know, after about 15 minutes, your brain's about to explode from all the problems in the world. Because they're not exactly giving out life. It might be true, but it's not necessarily life. You're going to get life when you get into the Word of God and you follow after Jesus. And so we're going to have a lot of things that try to distract us from the straight and narrow. I love Smith Wigglesworth, the old preacher from the early 1900s. He was illiterate till he was in his 40s. And he learned how to read. He was a plumber. And he learned how to read by reading the Bible. And he said throughout his life that that's all he read. He ended up, there's a lot of books he's written, but I don't think he wrote any of them. I think people wrote them for him, took him from his messages. But basically, he didn't read the paper. Someone would bring him the paper, he'd say, get that thing out of here. All he read was the Bible. And he did okay in life. Yeah. And I think there's an element of us wanting so badly to be aware of everything that's going on. And I know I was like that. It really kicked off after 9/11. I remember watching 9/11 happen on the screen. We were all our kids were there. We were homeschooling and we're all watching it. We couldn't even believe it. And that was to me the launch of 24/7 news. And from that moment, I've been on the edge of my seat wondering what's happening next. You know, like now what's going on? Now what's going on? And I think I'm starting the last few years to realize I'm never going to know everything that's going on. And I'm going to blow up into little pieces if I keep trying. Do you remember there was a commercial a number of years ago where a guy told his wife, I'm going to go surf the internet. And then she came back and he wasn't doing it. She's like, what's the deal? He goes, I finished it. Wow. Things have changed since then. It's gotten slightly bigger. Solomon basically lays out two paths. You know, this is what Led Zeppelin said this. They said, yes, there are two paths you can go by. But in the long run, there's still time to change the one you're on. Now, I used to do rock and roll seminars all across the Midwest at schools and churches and universities and stuff. And that was one of the things we talked about, is that, you know, there are two paths, but you have no guarantee that there's time to change the one you're on. If you're on the wrong path, you could die in an instant and it'll be over. You know, I've told a lot of these stories many times, but I was thinking about it again the other day. We were driving through Eau Claire and thinking about a friend of mine who one night was working at McDonald's. And she was working with another guy, and they're on campus. It's late at night, and the Lord said to her, tell him about me. And she's like, Lord, we're closing up. I'm so tired. She said, you know what? We're both opening again in the morning. I'll tell him in the morning. Well, you know the setup, what's going to happen, but that night, he got hit by a car as he left work and was killed. There was an opportunity where God wanted her to tell him the gospel. We don't know if he would have accepted it or not. We don't know if someone else maybe grabbed him along the way. But it crushed her. We had to help her work through, the guilt and the burden of it, because she came to work the next day. He didn't show. She didn't find out till later that afternoon that he was killed. But I've heard a number of these kind of stories over the years. A guy that led our kids at an Awana program once talked about how the Lord put it on his heart to share with a guy at work one night, and he did it. This time he actually did it. The guy rejected him and said, I'm not interested, and on his way home was killed in a car accident. But he had been given an opportunity. As we live our lives, there's two paths. There's the way of wisdom, and then there's the way of the wicked. And it's amazing how often people choose the way of the wicked. And if you could explain it clear, it seems like, how would you ever do that? Like if you said, if you go this way, you're going to be healthy, you're going to be successful, you're going to be prosperous, you're going to live a long life, you're going to have a great marriage, you're going to have nice children, you're going to live satisfied, you're going to wake up content, you're going to go to sleep at peace, and you're going to wake up in the presence of God one day where you'll have your own mansion, streets of gold, and a giant Packers flag out in front. Or you can go this way, and you're going to be sick, you're going to feel guilty, you're going to feel ugly, you're going to feel full of shame, you're going to be bitter, you're going to be angry, you're going to be have animosity with your spouse and your children and your parents and your work friends and your neighbors, and you're going to fight with people, and you're going to be miserable. Now, which one do you want? And I just don't get it, because the majority of our country goes, wow, really? Oh, man. I guess I'll take door two. And you just don't know. I don't know what to say. Well, what Solomon does, he says there's the way of wisdom. Number two, there's the way of the wicked. And then he contrasts them. So let's take a moment here and break it down. Verses 11, 12, and 13 is the way of wisdom. He says, I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Man, I don't know. And this is one of those things I've shared many, many times. When I got saved and they gave me this, I read it and said, oh, okay. And I thank God for it. I don't know why. I just went, all right, so I should go in the right way. But I struggle sometimes with people that say, oh man, I don't know. Verse 14, now here's the second route. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. And listen, he lists six things in these couple verses. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked. Don't walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it. Go on your way. And then kind of the summary. But verse 16, he says, they cannot rest until they do evil. They're robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. And then he contrasts the two. Verse 18, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. I was hiking the other day at Pike Lake State Park. Annie and I love to go up there, and I went up, and it was like I was starting a little after 4, so I knew I was going to be getting near sunset, which is scary and weird to just even think about, that it's that early. But I took off on the Orange Path. It's a 3-mile path, up and down a lot of hills. I love my watch, tells me the elevation I climb, and I think it's a couple hundred feet up and down that you'll go. And I took off, and I was cranking pretty fast, but it was interesting. The path, Annie and I have done it many, many times, but now leaves have fallen. And one of the things is, even when the leaves aren't there, I stumble a half dozen times or so on the route, because there's roots and rocks sticking out everywhere. But now there was like leaves covering it. And so I was like really being careful as I walked, because I couldn't see them. I'm even when I walk, I stare at them and I'm still making it through. But now I'm like, oh man, this might not have been the best decision. But I took off, started walking, and I was a couple miles in, and all of a sudden I saw this huge buck. At least 8, I think it was more like 12 plus points. It was massive. And it bounded down this path, and it's a secret path. It's a little extra path called the Black Forest Nature Trail. And Annie and I, last time we were there, we saw a deer on that same path, and I thought, oh man, I'm taking that one this time. So I just turned and I went down that, and I know it. Now here's the thing. I know these trails. That day I got there, they were closed and the maps were all gone, but I know it in my heart. So I'm aware of the trails because I've studied it. I always grab a map. I stare at it. I'm that guy. I love to know where I'm going. I like to know what's on the map. And so it was internally in me because I've paid attention. And so I'm taking the Black Forest Nature Trail, extra half mile. I'm coming around, and all of a sudden I come to a stream that isn't supposed to exist. There was a little flooding going on. My trail was blocked. It's starting to get close to dark. And I'm like, okay, if I go backwards, I'm walking in the dark. But I know the trail. So I'm looking through and I'm processing. And I'm remembering the map. And I'm like, I know that there's a parking lot that way. And I'm processing it. Because I've studied the map, I knew I can adjust, and I'll go down this hill, around up this cliff, and the back up and over, and I'll make it. Now, you're going to have detours in life. Sometimes rebellion will take you off a path. Sometimes just life throws you a wrench, a detour, where you didn't do anything. I didn't do anything wrong. You know, God flooded the thing. So now, I don't need to repent because my path blocked, but I need to make a good decision. Now, because I know the principles of that park, I know the routes, I know the paths, I was able to find a little quarter mile, like, path that would get me around what had gotten in the way, around the detour, and then ultimately, although I slid down this hill and I'm grabbing trees and I'm skiing down the leaves, and I make it through, and I didn't twist my ankle, and I made it, and it was kind of exciting, and my watch is telling me my heart's 165 to 170 while I'm hiking down this hill, and I'm like, whoa, okay. And I make it, and I get around, and I get to the path. I'm back to the path. You might have things that come up in your life. The obvious ones are that you made a dumb decision. you know, the other day, Ben Affleck, who's in recovery from alcoholism, well, he's Ben Affleck, so it's really hard for him to go out and publicly get drunk without 100 million people knowing about it. And so he did. He's on all the news. And afterwards they asked him and he said, yeah, I screwed up. I don't know that he's repented and he's living for God, but he was honest. So sometimes you just screw up. So repent and get back to the path, right? Sometimes things just come in your way. You know, I've had so many of these things happen over the years. You know, all these years of adventure, things happen all the time. I remember the first time I got to Haiti. And I flew in and I got picked up from some people that I didn't know well. I had met them at a dinner. They invited me to come speak at a pastor's conference. I said, yeah, all right. You know what? I felt like God said, I want you to go. And so I said, all right. So I'm preaching to all these pastors and, you know, it was pretty exciting. But then we were going to travel to another city where they wanted me to minister. And on the way, I'm in the back of a Jeep. And we're driving like maniacs already because it's Haiti and people just drive crazy and we're kind of blasting along and it's dark and all I've been reading about, this is my first time there, is voodoo and witchcraft and, you know, everything that was going on in that country and things were horrible and all of a sudden the highway's blocked. There's people screaming, there's stuff getting thrown, and we stop in our tracks, and I see total fear come over the people that were driving us. And they're like, oh my gosh! And, you know, and they look at us and they go, it's a manifestation! And I'm like, it's a what? And I'm just thinking, it's a manifestation? Now, I found out later, it took a while, that that means riot in their language. It's a riot, but they say manifestation, and that was what it was. It was like a demonic manifestation. Trucks had blocked the highway. People are throwing bottles. There's fires all over the place. There's screaming. There's not like street lights. It's pitch black, and all you can see is what headlights are picking up. We're in this Jeep. We're trapped, and I am into the born identity now. I am on edge and I am ready because there are manifestations happening. There's rioting. There's these crazy voodoo looking people screaming. I hear gunshots, stuff smashing, and I'm like, what is happening? And all of a sudden, you know, some guys come up to our car and start screaming. I don't know the language. They're screaming at us. My driver starts screaming back, and all of a sudden he shifts into reverse. And we're going backwards like 50 miles an hour through this tiny little alley, crashing into garbage cans. We're backing out of their high speed. And I'm like, oh, it is on. And all of a sudden we smash up and then they turn and we go through this alley where literally they had to pull the mirrors in because we couldn't fit through it, and we're blasting through. They cut through a couple of buildings across a few people's yards that are screaming at us, and I'm like, we are gonna die. And I'm half just paranoid, and half of me is just having the best time. And we blast across some yards, and then we go up this huge hill embankment, and we're sloshing through mud and muck, and then bam, we're on the highway. And the manifestation is behind us. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Did that just happen? So then we've taken many teams there. And I remember a few times we've had it happen. And I've been through it. So I just turn to the people with us and go, don't worry. It's just a manifestation. And they're like, a what? It takes a while to get to know that, right? But you learn that the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. If you're doing God's work, He's gonna take care of you. He's gonna guide you and lead you. And if you die, well, you're in heaven. There's always that. One time I was in Prague, Czechoslovakia, Czech Republic just then. Annie and I were there. It was soon after they had gone from being communist to being open to the West, but everywhere you drove, there were blockades and like really intense-looking policemen with machine guns, and they stared at you. And of course, I don't know a lot of Czech, even though I'm half Czech. Kolachi. And we would go through all these checkpoints, and people had said, I don't know if you should drive there, but we're like, we're smart, we'll do it. And so we're driving around, having a great time, very romantic and interesting to be there. But one night we go down by the river into like the theater district, the business district, and we're driving along, and we keep kind of, people are kind of getting in our way, there's big crowds forming, and we're going along, and we're like, man, I think we probably should get out of here. There was starting to be like a lot of commotion, a lot of action, and we're driving, and we get kind of at the end, and we realize we're at a dead end, and this massive crowd is formed, and I don't even know to this day what was happening, but there was some kind of festival or a demonstration or something, but all of a sudden, our car's starting to get jostled. People are pounding on our car, screaming at us. And so, again, I just went, okay, what would Jason Bourne do? Now, I had studied the map. I knew where we were on the map. I just didn't process that this was a dead end, because on the map, it connected to the main street where we were going. And so I looked, and the crowd is banging us. Things are happening. And there was a set of about 8-10 steps going up to the road. And I just looked at Annie and I said, hang on. And I just drove up the staircase and back onto the road. And the whole time I'm waiting for these scary communist police guys to come get me. But we just got out of there because we were in a mob and I didn't know what was about to happen. And I thought, I'm just going to drive and get back on the path, and we'll deal with the consequences later. You know, we might get a ticket, but we're not going to be dead. And we just drove up, and we're watching for lights. I think I might have even turned my lights off and just started getting out of there. We made it back to the hotel, and man, I don't know if I've ever told this story, because that was one I was like, I don't know if maybe I want to encourage children to do that. But if you're attacked by a mob, it's maybe okay to just drive up a staircase and get out of there. There are going to be detours in life, things that come at you that you don't count on, that you don't plan on. But the more you have the Word of God in you, the more you have the map in you, the more you have the grid and the understanding, the more you're able to do it. You know, like in all the spy movies, whether it's a Jack Ryan or 24 or you name it, they always now have someone behind the scene that has eyes into where they're going, right? Someone has the schematics of the secret building. Someone has maybe satellite that's beaming in and showing you what's going on. Someone maybe has infrared and is able to pick up what's happening. Do you know we have that in Jesus? We have that. Like, as we go through life, we have someone who knows who's there, that knows the route, that knows how to get you around. And if you start getting the Word in you as the grid and the framework, you know, Jason Bourne, it's not just his intuitiveness that helps him to be a great spy. It was also hundreds and thousands of hours of training. And that's what you're responsible for, is to do all the hard work of training, of getting in the Word, of giving yourself to the understanding of what is the right way, what is the way of wisdom, staying on that path, and then as things come up, God is able to direct you around tragedies, to keep you away from bad guys. You know, I literally probably could point out 100 different times where the Lord's told me, don't go that way. Don't go down that street. Don't go into this part of town. Don't, you know, no. Don't walk. There's a lot of times at night where I'm just walking, Annie and I will be in some city, and we've been all over the world. Maybe we're in Rome. Maybe we're in Prague. And the Lord will say, cross the street. I don't go, why? I just go, oh yeah. And I go, Annie, we're going to go this way. She goes, why? And I go, the Lord said. She goes, oh, right on. She knows, right? She knows. And usually she'll even feel it with me. Like, we better go this way. As you have the right framework and grid in you, it makes it so easy then for God to adjust and steer you around for everything else. But you have to have a decision made in your heart that you're going to walk on the paths of wisdom, that you're going to stay on that road and not get sucked into the other ways. He goes on to say this. I think it's really interesting. As he explains in verse 20, he starts teaching about character qualities, really, that'll help you to stay on the path. He says, pay attention to what I say. And Solomon says that over and over through Proverbs. Listen, pay attention. He said, turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, he says, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. There's an element of just committing yourself that you're going to do the right thing, that you're going to focus on what's in front of you. And in doing that, you're not distracted by the things to the left or right. I remember as a brand new believer walking through grocery stores, and I'd just be in a grocery store, and all of a sudden I'd just go, huh? And I'd feel this need to turn, and it would always be where the porn was, you know, or whatever magazines. And like back in the day, it was a lot more rampant everywhere. And then we even did demonstrations against it. And they got out most of it, you know, over the years, where it's not in every little local grocery store. But I would find myself like turn and go, what? And so I started to think of this verse. Do not look to the left or the right. Keep your eye. You know, those are distractions are always off on the side. But if you keep going forward for Jesus on the path of life, you don't even get sucked into it. You know, I was brand new working as an accountant, and everyone in my office was like, hey, we're going out for happy hour. And I thought, wow, this is a great opportunity for me to witness to them, and all that stuff's going through my mind. And the Lord's like, no, go home to your wife. And I'm like, no, I am going to go home to my wife. And I wouldn't get distracted to the left or the right. You know, and then later we had a big trip planned for our, I was an accountant shortage controller with a chain of department stores. And we had a big event. We're going off to Iowa for a few days of just fun and revelry, checking out their stores. But they knew I was that guy that didn't turn left or right, and I didn't get invited, even though I should have been on the chart there. And later I'm like, you know, I wasn't right. How come you all got to go for 4 days, paid vacation, have fun? How come I didn't? And someone told me, well, bottom line, the VP knows your stance. And he thought, you know, he has planned a lot of stuff with strippers and things, and he didn't want you around. I thought, you know what? If that's my reputation, I'll take it. I'm keeping my feet on the straight and narrow. I'm doing the right thing. I'm walking in that way. But you know, you get opportunities so often. I hear about all these people that are pastors committing adultery. And you know, if you just read Proverbs, the next Proverb, chapter 5, the whole thing is on adultery. Really, 4, 5, and 6, jammed with that. But 5 and 6, just all on adultery. So many times. Once I had to stop, we went out to lunch. I went to lunch as a brand new, I think I've been married 6 months. And this girl was my secretary. We had out to lunch. She goes, I got to stop at my house and pick something up. So we stop at her house. And then all of a sudden, she starts coming on to me. And I'm like, we got to go. I'm like a Christian. I'm not about to be doing this. And she goes, oh, okay, yeah. And so we get back to the office. Well, like a month later, she had an affair with another guy that worked in our department. She was just ready to cheat on her husband. She was straight out of Proverbs. I've read Proverbs a lot. I was like, no. I know where this is heading. And they ended up having an affair. He ended up getting fired because this wasn't allowed. And everything went down the tubes. And I just thought, Lord, thank you. Thank you for protecting me. I was traveling once. I was at a hotel. And we were coming in from a parking lot. And there's, you know, this beautiful girl comes, gets out. She's a shoe salesman and all that. And she's telling me what she's doing. And I'm heading to my room. Her room's right next to mine. And she's kind of like flirting with me. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to go call my wife. And she goes in her door and leaves her keys hanging in the door, you know, there, and kind of waves at me and makes it really obvious. She left her key. Come on over. So I went in. First thing, I went straight in. Got on the phone, called my wife, and said, here's what's going on. And so we just talked for like an hour. Because I understand temptation. Do you know why? Not because, oh, yeah, I'm a man. No, because I read the Bible. I know. Do you know that most of the time when you talk about seduction and stuff, it's not about nakedness. It's about winking and nodding and shuffling of feet. And you know, that Proverbs talks about those little things. It's those little things that start leading you off the path. And we have to be smart. You know, I think you probably all watch these videos where a guy will go up to moms at a park and say, hey, we're doing a test to see if we can draw kids away into a van with a stranger. Have you taught your kids to not talk to strangers? Like, my kid would never do it. And so this guy will go up with a puppy and show it to a kid, and within 1 minute, almost everyone, at least in the video, walks straight away and goes. He says, you want to see the rest of the puppies? And the kid is in the van. And the moms are freaking out. Now, little kids don't often have the discernment. That's why as parents, we keep a tight leash on them to watch out for them. But I don't think adults are that much different. One little puppy, I was showing Annie, I watch this guy Big Dawes TV on YouTube. He does a lot of pranks. He'll dress up as a nerd and go beatbox in Compton and all kinds of wild stuff. So there was one that popped up yesterday where he said, how to get any girl's phone number. And he goes out on campus holding two puppies. And he goes up, and just literally 10 girls or more come up to him. And then he says, hey, grab my phone, will you? And then they do, and he goes, put your number in it. And every single one he was talking to, yeah. Just from a couple of puppies. And I was sitting there watching it, laughing, because then he tells him, no, I'm married, I'm a YouTuber, blah, blah, blah. But I was thinking, it literally is that simple for people to be stupid. A couple little puppies and they're ready to throw their life away. We have to be wise. And the only way is you literally have to wash your brain with truth. You have to get it in there. You have to have it deep in your heart. And you know, I know many of you, I know some of the paths that you've gone off. I know some of the places people have stumbled. I've done deliverance with many of you. I know your old life. And I know even recent history, some struggles of people. That's one of the things, pastoring, you hear it all. And I want to encourage you. You can do this. You have to put on who you are in Christ. I read this thing years ago. I think it's really interesting. Marilyn Monroe, and she's the original Kim Kardashian. But she was like this bombshell. I'm sure you're all familiar with her. But in the 50s and 60s, one time, let me see, I think I wrote some of this down. But she was walking to a set for a production they were doing with someone, a friend of hers. And they're walking along, and she's just wearing a kind of a very plain outfit and like an older scarf, and she's got her hair tied up. And they're walking along, and nobody is even noticing them. No one's even bothering them. And so the guy says to her, he's kind of looking at her like it was very disconcerting, because here he was. He had this chance to walk outdoors with Marilyn Monroe, the biggest sex symbol of the era, and nothing was happening. And then I mentioned it to her, he said. I said, you know, wow, this is wild, nobody's coming up to you. And she looked at me and she said, oh, do you want to see her? And he said, yeah, of course, I would love to see her. And he said, all she did was, in a moment, transform herself into the cinematic sex kitten. She subtly lifted her shoulders, elongated her back, she tilted her head coyly, he said, and then began to swing her hips and begin to strut, and va-voom, he said, it wasn't 5 minutes that an entire crowd had gathered around them. She had gone from just being this mousy girl going to study her lines to va-voom. Now, I'm not here to teach you how to pick up men. That's extra. No. But I heard that story and I thought, do you know, that's how we should be as Christians. We have the King of the universe inside of us. Now, I don't mean that's how we should be to pick up people. I mean, like, think about it. We walk around all mousy, hardly being noticed, feeling beat down. Everyone's got these thoughts that everyone's against them. Everyone's criticizing you. Literally, I've heard it from everybody. When I do counseling, they're like, you know, I always think that they're judging me. They're mad at me. They're angry at me. You know, nobody wants me there. You know, people come to youth group. They're like, nobody wants me at the youth group. People come to church. They're like, I don't think anyone likes me there. You go off to work. Like, nobody wants me in this job. It's just how the enemy works. He lies and lies and lies. And as we're walking along, we can either choose to give into that thinking, and this would be the lead up to maybe if I preach here again, but that would be the secret identity. But that's the thinking then as we're walking, that we take on this negative kind of identity and this negative vision of who we are, instead of just putting on the gospel and allowing the power of God to be part of us, throwing back our shoulders and coming into a room and going, guess what? The kingdom of God has come. Now, I think about Kanye saying, I'm the greatest artist that's ever lived. That's a little much. But yet, something in me thinks, you know, we could use a little more of that, right? Because we do have the greatest king that's ever lived living inside of us. We do know the wisest man that ever lived in Jesus, you know, but he's not a man, so Solomon keeps the title. But we have insight from the God of the universe. We need to be, if Marilyn Monroe can go from mousy little girl to bombshell and attract a huge crowd, we should be living as men and women of God, putting on our identity, walking the path, down that path of wisdom with our shoulders back, our head high, and our eyes lit up with the light of the gospel. And so there's an element of, you can't do that until you know you're on the right path. Because when I got off the path, I wasn't just whistling, singing, walking on the path the other day at Pike Lake. When I knew I had to take that detour, it was all Jason Bourne. I'm sliding down the hill, grabbing trees, running over stumps, because it was getting dark and I had to get out of there. But once I got back to the path, then it's time to start whistling while I work, enjoying what I'm doing. And so if you're off the path, whether it's because of your own rebellion or because of a detour, get back on it as fast as you can. Just get back on it, okay? Once you're on it, just trust that you're back, you know, and put on the kingdom of God. Put on that new self. Put on that new life and let God radiate and shine through you for His glory. Amen. I'll end with that. Bless you guys.